job here. I haven't met either of you yet. Okay, awesome. So I will, if it's all right with everybody, I am going to live stream the discussions to our Facebook page. And I'm going to start that momentarily. Last call, if you would like to get any of the handouts at the front, they relate to the business today. We have the agenda and then a general order that CPD is working on for how they relate to district councils and CCPSA, a lot of the stuff that we've talked about in these meetings last year, and some other surveys. Thank you.
We need to sign in, David.
What's up?
We need to sign in today.
No, if you have before and you're already on my list, it's you don't need to. I wonder where I should put the legs on that table. This will not count as our official November meeting, but we will move forward with the published agenda and then have a makeup meeting somewhat later on. Next up, though, is public comment, which I'll be soliciting input throughout the discussions, but for public comment, you are free in your time to say anything that you'd like to say. And you can have 2 minutes to do so. Would anybody like to speak? Raise your hand. Who's first for public comments? Oh, there we go. Sally's number one. Yep.
Okay. I've got a couple of items I wanted to bring up in the public comments. The first one is, I think it's really important that we have another meeting with Commander Linus. I would say maybe our next regular meeting in December, if possible, or a special meeting soon after that, or early next year. But it's time to talk to her again. There's lots of issues that we need to get clarity from her on. And so I wanted to bring that up, and hopefully we can get that pushed forward with our counselors. The second thing is, I would really like to see Christopher Laurent not be our chair. I would like to see David Orlikoff take over that position. And to further that, I would like to see that made a point on our agenda at our next regular meeting, maybe even the one later this month to make up for today. But I think it's really important. I know I and other people have had complaints about this for many, many, many meetings and months, and I think it's time to take action on it. The final thing is, I want to just mention the Oath Keepers, there's going to be a forum on that on Sunday the 10th at, I believe it's 2 o'clock at the, what's the name of Movement at Montrose, yeah. And there'll be leaflets coming out about that, and I hope everybody will attend, because I think that's really an important issue. And one that we addressed the last time we had the commander here, and she said, well, I don't know anything about it. let's continue to push on that.
Sorry, you said Movement at Montrose?
Yeah.
Date, time?
Sunday the 10th at the, I believe it's 2 o'clock.
Yeah, going to.
Thank you. Thank you, Sally. Other hands? Yeah, Gil, would you like to?
Yeah, just for the record, I support Christopher, chairman, and I think he's doing a great job.
Okay. Are you finished with your comments?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, I see. Fayani?
Yeah, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring and say that I would like Chris removed as chair. He has a long history of dereliction of duty, and then in the last meeting, he did not chair the meeting properly. Lee Bilecki just took up all the air in the room, and he doesn't even live in the district. And that is the case in every meeting. He doesn't control people that he knows are on his side, so to speak, and then he really all of a sudden knows how to chair whenever it's someone else talking. So I think he should be removed, and I'd like to, you know, I support David Orlikoff being chair and Ashley remaining nominator. I also would like the commander to come to a meeting. Not only do we need to keep pushing on this issue of the fact that there's a white supremacist with a badge and a gun in our district in Mike Nowacki, the other issue is that a gallery owner is being harassed in our district, and our district councilor met with the commander, and she's just giving Ashley the runaround. And so she needs to face the community and answer to why a business owner in our district is getting harassed by police repeatedly, even though he has shown every single time his business gets cited that he is not in breach of his business license. So this is harassment by the police, and the police department needs to answer for this. And so lastly, I also would like for people to know about the town hall, the one that Sally mentioned. The demand we're putting forth is that Brandon Johnson fire the officers and open a task force investigating white supremacist extremism and CPD. This is a recommendation that came directly from the OIG. The OIG presented last month, and they found that the BIA's investigation was insufficient. They did not investigate properly, and so these were the recommendations that Deborah Witzberg, the deputy inspector, made. So we're not just pulling this out of the sky, we're just pushing forward the demands that she made. That's all.
Thank you very much.
Another hand up over here.
Okay, great. Just really quickly, we do have a couple copies of those OIG reports if anyone would like to find out more about what was just being talked about. Yes, next hand, Mike.
I'd like to say I support these movements as well, these recommendations. I like Chris likably, you know, as an individual, but I don't think he's run the meetings well. And I think it's time we get somebody doing the job who is at least impartial. And I remember at the meeting, when the discussion came up as far as note-taking, I remember making a comment that maybe the chair should not be doing that anyway, because I've been the chair of numerous committees, and you got a job while you're doing that, and taking notes is not it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you're focused on running a meeting, and so I think, I just have to say I agree.
Thank you. Thank you. Are you done with your comments?
Yeah, I am done, sorry.
Okay.
I have a question.
Hands at the moment? Okay, sure.
What is the procedure for replacing a chair?
So we were elected to the same position, which is member of the 14th District Council, and
right.
Then we self-selected the individual roles, and it can be changed by a majority vote. Yeah.
Thank you.
And the initial roles, of course, were not set by a formal vote in the meeting. It was just by agreement, essentially, because we had the roles going into, or I guess we did a step. No, that's not true. We did vote on the rules at the first meeting. Okay, sorry.
So that meeting would be subject to the Open Meetings Act of Illinois?
Yes, we would have to vote in a public meeting to change the rules. Yes, definitely. That would definitely be business. Uh-huh. Sorry, is this a question or a public comment? Were there any hands waiting, FYI? Okay. Let's 1 second. Is that all right, Neil? And then you're next. Okay. Yes, would you like to speak your name for the record? Or,
yes.
Well, if you'd like. Okay.
Yep. Laura Rosenauer.
Okay.
I just wanted to echo the calls for Chris to step down as chair and also to have the commander back at one of our next meetings.
Okay. Thank you. Are you, Are you finished with that?
Yeah.
Which, if you would like it to be included, could you spell your last name?
Oh, yeah. R-O-S-E-N-B-A-U-E-R.
Oh, okay. I did get it. Cool. Great. Neil?
Yeah. Neil Risdahl.
Okay, I know who you are.
Okay. Industrial workers in the world. Really a point of information. Can you handle, say you're the one in charge now, can you handle it? Does that mean extra duties for you if you're the one in charge?
I believe I could handle it. You know, it's my nature to think about the different sides to any situation, but
I mean, I would be asking the same question of Ashley. You know,
yeah.
I'm not singling you out.
Sure. No, that's fine.
I'm just trying to get a sense of...
yeah, no,
the one in charge, do they have more responsibilities, or how does that work?
To my mind, the main responsibility is to maintain order during these meetings. Mm-hmm. And that would be my only goal. If I were to take that role.
That's a tall order. These meetings can be really rowdy.
Yeah, that's true.
I kind of heard feral cats.
Do we have any other...
I have a question.
Yes.
You ran on defunding and eliminating the police department. So how does that make you fair to both sides?
Sure. I would not necessarily say that I'm unbiased in all aspects, because I certainly think that we increase safety by investing our resources in the things that we all need. I guess that's not my main. It's oftentimes not true to say that you're neutral. You know. Under the right lens, everything is has its own perspective or opinion or whatever. I'm not saying that I'm the most neutral person in the world. I would say that I follow, you know, facts and information and material reality, and will find, you know, follow research, and, you know, find the best solutions, I guess. But anyway, I was talking through your account. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
So there.
Would you like to...
No.
Say,
okay. Just for clarity, you're asking him, can he be objective? Is that the question?
Yeah, when he answered the questions when he was running, I didn't find them objective. Or with lack of bias, I should say.
Question. We're all
sure.
Just a follow-up. Is there anything that would change your position on the defunding of the Chicago Police Department?
I'm not sure. That's, I guess, difficult to say, but it would no longer be the same thing if it were to change to be unrecognizable. But I do think that a lot of services, if we should not look to recreate everything under CPD. You know, when we expand things like the CARES alternative response teams, it's good that those are under their own umbrella, under the Department of Health, rather than CPD. And, you know, what defunding means is, you know, our budget is zero sum in a certain sense, and if you give half of your money to the police, that means that you're not having money for other things that people need that might, you know, put them in a situation where they are more likely to experience crime.
You don't have to give a detailed explanation of the foundation of your position. I'm just asking if you're truly open-minded about it.
Budgets should be able to go up or down. If the idea is that the police budget can only ever increase, that's not a tenable position. And it has caused a lot of problems. So, you know, defunding just means the budget. And there's a problem where, for a long time, every single politician has tried to
make a tough on crime or like we're going to turn a corner here, that's like their entire policy. That's the only thing they'll ever do is say, I'm going to address crime in a way that the other people didn't by doing the exact same thing that they did, you know, which is say we're just going to go harder and faster and more. So you can't continue to go harder and faster and more continuously. It doesn't work.
Thank you.
Sure.
It's not public comment. I was just going to say, point of order, if you want to have an ideological discussion, can you have it after the meeting?
Exactly.
And we just push things forward?
Yeah. Sure.
My point is this is political discussion. And we're walking a real fine line in a formal thing. So I would agree this is a discussion that has to be held.
Yeah.
Outside of the meeting.
Thank you. I will try to do a better job of holding order.
I'd really like to point out that there is no meeting. That's
yeah.
True. This is an
informal
gathering.
Fair enough.
Which
yeah.
Rules don't apply.
Fair
and
enough.
It seems to me that the question was to try and find a little bit out about somebody who might be changing roles.
I understand that.
I do have another point that I'd like to make.
Okay, so we're gonna recognize Paul.
This business with the commander,
yeah,
not being eager to attend our meetings, I just find very difficult to take. This body is the primary way, as far as I can tell, for the commander of a police district to have firsthand contact, unfiltered, with folks from the district. And for her to say that, oh, she's very busy, particularly when we're willing to give her a month's notice,
mm-hmm,
displays an attitude that I find difficult to deal with. So I would certainly urge that whoever talks to her about this meeting coming in December should emphasize that we think it's her job to show up. And it's more important than most of the other things that she does. So give us your darn half hour, please.
Yeah.
And
I think I saw a hand coming up. Do you have any time? Would you like to speak?
Sure. Just to address your last comment, I actually have direct conversation with the commander several months ago before her last meeting, and my belief is that she's fully willing to attend, but in the previous case there were conflicts because this group wanted her to come on the weekend, and at that time she was not available to come on the weekend, but her intention was to come. And there's a lot of spurious information about how her attendance was arranged or forced, allegedly, and we shouldn't rely on hearsay. Let's just go with that. On the subject of the chairman, I just want to reflect that we passed the line of 300 feet people waiting to vote in an election where literally democracy is on the ballot. And our government, certainly its Congress, was ineffectual because of a breakdown of working in good faith between the two sides. And given that there's a, let's call it an ideological majority on the council, it's possible for those two councilors to basically run the board and do whatever they want, including change the chairman, which I don't support. And I think in your heart you know that whether you agree with Chris on the issues, he has always acted in good faith to try to run a proper impartial meeting following the rules and with the law. And people can have a difference of opinion on that, but it's between Ashley and David and Chris, who've worked together for the last year. So I just ask you to think that way. Thanks.
Thank you. Just briefly to step in, I will ask if there are more public comments, and maybe take just up to three more, but only if you have it now. I think I guess I already answered, but I don't think we want to continue, I guess, with the ideological political discussions. However, there might be some interest in adding, you know, say 5 minutes to conclude the discussion around questions around chairing or something, up to 5 minutes. before continuing with the regular topics. Okay, are there any other folks that would like to give a public comment before we move on from this section? That's fine with me. Okay. Last call, once, twice? Okay, cool. I'm going to, it may not even take this time, maybe only a couple minutes, but a max of 5 minutes now. So about the chair thing, and this we can end this as well if we're done with that discussion. But this was continuing to come up. I will say one thing about in regards to Chris as chair. He has made it clear a number of times that he believes these meetings have to be concluded within 1 hour, and has used that idea as sort of his guiding principle in this determining agenda and business. I don't see any reason to entertain that, and I do think that that is a limitation that he's imposed on himself and is attempting to impose on the council. But other than that, are there any questions or comments related to the roles of the counselors, or the status of chair?
Can I just ask a question?
Of course.
Two-part question.
Of course.
One, have we ever had a meeting under an hour? And two, would he have any power as chairman to affect the length of the meeting? And I believe the answer to both those questions is no. So it's sort of a hypothetical problem that can't ever exist.
I think you said what you said. Oh, sorry. You answered your own question. I think that was accurate. There is a problem. Chris is trying to use his power, whether as chair or just as a counselor, to limit agenda items. For example, he believes that there should not be updates on pre-textual traffic stops, which is something that we voted on as a council. And in a normal meeting, like if a commission or a city council, old ongoing business is up for discussion at every single meeting, and you update on it. And he believes that anything about traffic stops, if at all, I should only say during the council member updates, and that there should be, therefore no room for any interaction with the audience, with the constituents. So, to some degree, I'm not sure how that situation.
The two of you can just outvote him on the agenda, right? So his opinion is just an opinion.
I think.
You still have that opinion accurate. Whether he's chairman or not.
That sounds accurate. But to whatever degree, it may be that the chair position doesn't mean much, but to whatever degree it means something, I do find that he is seeking to impose some limitations that I don't think are in the best interest of the business we serve.
I have a comment.
Quickly. Yes.
It is really unsimple for people to sit here and make allegations and put words in the mouth of somebody who's not here.
That's true. We can move on. We did start mostly with questions for me, but that is a point well taken. Are there any other questions on this topic, or we're certainly welcome to move on? All right, cool. Skipping the approval of minutes, skipping district council member updates, and jumping straight into discussions. Starting with first up, I have a pretextual traffic stop update. I will say though, as it has come up in pretty much every meeting, including this one, one thing that we're definitely going to talk about today is the CPD general order that would require the commander to have meetings with the counselors or to attend these meetings or not. But they're working on formal regulations for that, which I think is the only way forward, through formal requirements rather than, asking nicely or something like that. So on traffic stops, I have a couple updates.
One of the things up there is this letter from the Freedom Move movement to the Attorney General and CCPSA, Community Commission for Public Safety and Accountability. If you don't know, this is the 14th District, or I'm on the 14th District Council. There's 22 police districts and district councils, and there is one community commission, which is nominated by the district councils, and it's a 7-member body for all of Chicago. But anyway, we wanted the commission to create this policy, but what happened is that it's going into the consent decree, which is a complicated legal proceeding between the people and the attorney general and against the city and the police. The CCPSA can make policies for CPD. However, they don't have jurisdiction over consent decree policies. So for traffic stops, that policy is going into the consent decree, which makes it more complicated. This letter, the situation hasn't changed much since this letter was sent, so this gives a good snapshot of what is being advocated for. There was another letter that was just sent this week to Mayor Brandon Johnson from a number of elected officials and community groups asking for him to have the law department move faster. What's happening now is that the commission is trying to get involved in policy making with the consent decree to end pretextual traffic stops. They don't have a current legal basis to do that, and the city is working with them to write some rules to let them be part of the consent decree process.
You have to be approved by federal court.
All of the parties of the consent decree are on the same page that it's okay for the CCPSA to help with this policy. However, it hasn't moved forward yet. And beyond how slow the consent decree itself can be, we don't have these rules in place for how the CCPSA is going to be part of the consent decree. So we haven't had much movement in several months, and it's unclear when we'll have more movement. So the last thing that happened was urging the mayor to publicly support these policies and to address the law department to move faster in having the consent decree go forward. There's one upcoming date that community members could be involved with. On November 13th is the scheduled CPD budget hearing at City Council, and the Free Freedom Move Coalition is planning to give some comments there and have an alder speak on their behalf about this policy. But it's in a really weird space where, that seemed very jumbled and confusing. Does anybody not know what the underlying issue is with pretextual traffic stops? Does that require some explanation? Were there any other questions or comments related to this issue that the council has voted to take up previously? Okay. Yes?
I'd just be interested to know if there's a good data source for police stops. You've shown previously some interesting data on the number of stops where there was an actual ticket written versus, textual stops, in my view, is just vehicular stop and frisk. So it's patently unconstitutional. It's just a question of how to force it to change. But my understanding is that Larry Snelling, for the last year, has said he didn't want to see a reduction. So,
yes, Snelling has said that he supports bringing the policy into the consent decree numerous times and solving it that way.
Let's monitor what they're doing, or at least self-reporting.
Yes.
So if you can ask staff to find us a good data source that we can try.
I have so many responses to that. I mean, the Free to Move website, freetomovechicago.com.org, I mean, they definitely have the best reports on the data. Like, for instance, you want to know what percentage of the stops result in a ticket or an arrest, they have that percent.
varies by year, but it's, you know, roughly maybe 2% or under 2% total for some ticketing, some type of action, and much lower for other things. Yes, Sally.
Yeah, we asked Commander Linus that question the last time we met with her. I was one of the people that did that, and her answer was, "I'm not a data person, right?" Do you all remember that?
Yes.
Who attended that meeting?
Yeah.
And she did not supply any kind of answer about what the policy is in the 14th district, how many are occurring, or gave us zero information on that. I would like to ask her again. And I think at that time we said, bring your data person next time. Because I think a lot of people are very much interested in this fact, and we have gotten zero information from her about the 14th district policy.
I think that's a great point in that setting an agenda with the other person, with her, whether she comes or her data person comes.
Well, both.
But I mean, it really does raise an issue that we've all like to think that the commander is in charge of the 14th district, and I think in my experience, I've been just staggered by the amount of bureaucracy, inertia, and also amorphous policy setting that doesn't happen at the district level. So it's frustrating to us, but I think that's the reality that change happens downtown, if it happens at all.
Adam, you mentioned bringing up data in regards to traffic stops. You reminded me that there is an Illinois state task force for traffic and pedestrian safety and stops. There was a law, I think, initially passed in like 2003. It might have been started by Obama even as a senator, and it's been updated. But that law is why CPD collects any information on the stops that they do. They call it, CPD refers to blue cards, which is the information that they fill out after they've conducted some sort of stop. I'm going to be speaking in front of the Illinois Task Force for traffic stops on November 21st, unless they change the date. I wanted to ask, it's a relatively limited scope of questioning. The questions are, how should the data that is being collected be used and published and distributed and accessible? So, that's a question for everybody here to get in touch with me before November 21st. There are state laws that require CPD officers, when they conduct a stop of some type, to fill out a page of information afterwards. And then, are you aware that exists? Do you think that CPD should have its own dashboards, or how would you like that information to be seen, you know, by district or on a map? Or the present situation is that they collect the data, and then there's a report by the state like every 3 years that's 80 pages of the PDF. And people like Free to Move, in order to access it, they have to do FOIA requests, and then, you know, so third parties are putting out their own analysis. Knowing that the police are required to fill out a blue card after every stop, how do you think the police and the state should be sharing or representing that data to the public? And I can take your comments now, and I can also, if you want to get in touch with me at any time to speak about that before November 21st, that would be excellent. Also,
keeping in mind that the state collects that data, it's a statewide database.
Yes, sir.
The city's data bank on that is absolutely huge, unbelievably huge, given the data points that they report on. But I can't imagine how big the state's is. And, if you're asking the state to change its practices, as a practical matter, the state might change the same.
To be clear, the Illinois State Task Force is asking everyone how they should change their practices. I believe Illinois Department of Transportation, they have proposed some of their own changes, and I'm not sure what all those changes are.
I collect the data.
Right. So they have already proposed some changes, but they're also asking everyone in the state how this data should be published.
Yeah. So I'll answer your question about how the data should be. I think that, you know, having tried to use the data from the city, it's woefully inaccurate. Sorry. It's woefully inaccessible and difficult to use. Can't speak to the accuracy of it. In so many areas. And from our meeting last week, we saw that the OIG has been working pretty hard, I think, to develop additional dashboards. Whether you like their dashboards or not is another question, but at least they're trying. And I think it's an interesting point to put the reporting outside the main operational part of CPD and have somebody that's theoretically independent releasing, analyzing and releasing the data. So one possible route is to formalize OIG's role and have them continue to expand the dashboards and include more operational level information as well as more outcomes related information. So they've already been doing accountability and complaints, but they've never done proper reporting on how many how many 911 calls are actually answered within a reasonable amount of time, how many reported crimes ever have a charge, how many crimes actually have a conviction, you know, all those kinds of things. So, which in a normal business, you, as a manager, you need to see inputs versus outcomes. And we don't have any good place to find all the outcomes from CPD. So maybe that's like a revolutionary idea for OIG to take that over.
Yes. Well, until this operation is really independent, it's just going to be evasion. You know, like, oh, you want information from us? File a FOIA. You know, that's not a very positive policy.
Sorry, are you largely in agreement that the data publishing should be done by outside?
Yeah, it has to be independent. Otherwise, it's just going to be this stall, you know, evade.
I believe the University of Chicago has a police practice think tank. I can't remember what it's called or runs it.
It's called Crime Lab. And they seem woefully unwilling to engage with.
I
tried.
Oh. What is it?
Different place.
Crime Lab?
You have seen Crime Lab?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
If anybody has a foot in the door there, I would welcome that. Even, I've talked to other professors in Lincoln, like at DePaul or whatever. Crime Lab won't work with anybody. It's really weird.
I'm sure more funding would be appreciated.
I also wanted to, so I have, there's more information about the state task force. I have a new link, which is bit.ly/lowercase do14links, all lowercase. Bit.ly is a short link URL, so bit.ly/do for David Orlikoff 14 links, L-I-N-K-S. So it's basically going to be like a bulletin board page. So there were some documents, for example, related to the Illinois State Task Force that I couldn't bring today, so I put them just on the, and it's easier to have online. So in addition to the paper documents, now there's an online table of contents bulletin board, bit.ly/do14links. So you can see the information that the police are currently required to collect. On these like blue cards there, or also the actual reports that the state currently releases. So currently most of the information is put out through large PDFs that the state releases infrequently. Having more real-time or dashboards or other visualizations would be a departure from that. So moving on from traffic stop updates, is there any final question or comment before moving on? Okay, great.
Next, this should be short, but community calls for removing officers tied to oath keepers. We have had a lot of discussion in this body previously, and so just calling attention to the fact that Color of Change and Carper sent a letter to Mayor Johnson calling to, I believe it was mentioned also in some of the public comments. So I have a copy of the letters on the table calling for the removal of oath keepers from CPD. Any discussion on that, or do you want to repeat, is the town hall coming up related to the letter to the mayor and the oath keepers? Do you want to repeat that one more time, that info?
Yeah, so the demand that we put forward, this was a letter to the mayor, and then there was a press release issued by Color of Change and the ECPS Coalition, and we're asking the mayor to fire the officers and launch a task force aimed at appropriately addressing white supremacist extremism. So the town hall is basically organizing people around that demand, and we're organizing a couple of alder people. Byron Cicho Lopez is confirmed. We're working on getting Rosana and Carlos, 33 and 34, 35. Ashley Vargas is speaking. We also have Deborah Witzberg, the deputy inspector, will be speaking on her investigation. And so, we're just pushing for those demands because something needs to be done about it, because as I said, the OIG investigation into BIA found that it was a very insufficient investigation. And so that's something that's really important. And then another aspect is talking about the referendum for more power over police. It's a referendum, an ordinance for a referendum to expand power over CPD, essentially. And I might do a teach-in in a future meeting, but that referendum would give us a directly elected commission, citywide commission. So the commission that exists now would be directly elected by people in the city. That commission would have power over the budget. It would have higher fire power over the superintendent. And this is a really important thing because right now, Snelling isn't following through on demands. And in a lot of ways, he doesn't have to, because there's no higher firepower over him. We don't have a say over whether he's superintendent or not. And so those are two really important things. And then we'll also be able to appoint the police board as well, that commission. So those are three really important things.
Thank you. Back to the vote keepers specifically.
Yeah.
So the town hall is 2 p.m. at the movement Montrose. Yeah. What's the date? Sunday the 10th?
November 10th, Sunday at 2 p.m.
Moving right along. Next is brief update. This council signed on to the amicus brief about private police arbitration. So an amicus brief is when you're not part of the lawsuit, but you're submitting a position to the court. Lawyers at the UFC and a lot of other folks organized this amicus brief, and the 14th District Council voted to sign on to it. It is calling, there's currently court cases, police won the right to have arbitration. Previously, they could have arbitration for lower level offenses when the punishment was less than a year of suspension, and they won last year the right to have arbitration for all cases, whether it's mass murder or anything. So what is being fought currently is just whether or not they can have that arbitration in private, or if that arbitration needs to follow the rules that the city already has for transparency for public safety matters. So the amicus brief is saying that there should not be private police arbitration. And I brought copies of it, and just so that you know, where is it? Is it here? Is it not here? Is it here? Fine, it is. Oh, actually, maybe I don't have copies. Anyway, it was in my email. I was gonna maybe read it, but because it's brief, but my phone is being used to record, that's fine. It also says confidential, do not share, but I specifically asked if I could share this meeting, and they said yes. So if you see it, don't worry about that. They said it was fine.
Yeah, sorry, I think I can't read it because my phone is being used. The actual like statement is under a page. There's only really one paragraph that just says all of these people think it's important to not have arbitration be done in private. And then it's just a list of all the signatories. So it's about 13 pages, but it's really only one paragraph that actually says anything. Moving on. So evidence-based approaches to community safety. And we should mention that the police are having their second strategic meeting. Every police district comes up with their own strategic plan for the district every year. So they're working on their strategic plan for 2025. They had one meeting already on like October 16th, and the next one is going to be on, is it the 4th?
Yes. No, the 4th is Monday.
Yeah, it's coming up. So this Monday, the 4th, at Morella's restaurant, what is it, like 3058 West Armitage, I think, Morella's? Apologies, my phone is being in use, but I'm pretty sure it's Morella's restaurant. They said that RSVPs are not required. You are able to just go, but if you would like to RSVP, you can reach out to the 14th District CAPS or Elizabeth Rios at Chicago Police Board.
What time is it? 6.
6 to 7, just 1 hour?
6 to 8.
6 to 8, thank you, Sarah. Did you go to the first one?
Yes.
Anything you'd like to say?
Yes, you did too.
Okay, so how was the first one, and anything you should expect for the second one?
Well, I brought up my concerns about pretextual traffic stops that have occurred in the 14th and right on my block, and that we brought up in our CAPS meetings, our beat meetings. Meanwhile, while they were doing those pretextual stops, there were car break-ins on a huge scale, 50 in a 2-month period, just a few blocks away, and so. Those break-ins have continued, as have the traffic stops, and I was very concerned about that. I thought it was a misuse of force. The other thing, and this is something I've been pushing for years, is that I would like to see beat meetings every month. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's really important. I've said that to, they always say they don't have the time or the money, so I keep pushing for that in their budget.
Second that motion.
Yeah.
Don't defund that.
They've already have. They defunded it. They need to refund it.
Well, correct. Right. Correct.
Okay. Great. You reminded me of something I wanted to say earlier when Adam was talking. Sorry. About Snelling wanting to lessen the traffic stops. So, 20 of the 22 police districts. In 2024 have started to decrease their traffic stops somewhat, and we are in one of the two districts that has actually increased traffic stops, even against what the superintendent is saying should be the new goal. So that's definitely problematic, but yeah, the 14th and the 25th police districts, Logan Square and Humble Park, have been targeted even more. And the other thing is that sometimes, even though it's a state requirement, sometimes the police are not filling out these cards, because you know it was also reported that there were 200,000 unreported stops in 2023 in Chicago. So great. Anyone else want to say anything about the strategic meeting coming up on Monday? Yes.
No. This is a different issue.
I'm sorry.
The police weren't filling out their blue cards. Is there any way of pushing them to actually do that? That a requirement? Are they supposed to fill out blue cards?
That is a good question. That is, yes, I have not found, I want to ask that question to several people, and I don't have a good answer yet. I'm not sure. But yeah.
So in other words, is it voluntary or is it actually required?
It is a state requirement, but I'm not sure what it, if you would make an individual complaint against them or not, or how you would know if there's culpability for the individuals or for the department, I'm not sure.
You suggest that go online. This is accessible. CPD rules are different from CPD policies, but they're both accessible. And they place some ordinary requirements on police officers too, to do their job. So, you know, there's an internal way of looking at it.
Do you happen to know if there are, how the state law would relate to
the state says you have to fill out a card, and that, I think that not doing so would not only be a violation of state law, but it could be a violation of CPD rule or policy, which would lead more directly to discipline for an officer found not to be in compliance. So how do you prove the existence of a non-event?
Thank you.
GPS.
Okay, moving right along. Okay, sorry. The most important thing, I should have gotten to this sooner, I guess. But I do think this will be very important for us to talk about. Sorry, let me skip a couple. Survey on the CPD budget. If you'd like to give any input on the CPD budget, there's a form up there that you can grab to do so. The link is also on bit.ly/do14links. Same with the survey on policing priorities that I started for the 14th district. That's bit.ly/survey for the 14 DC survey, but sorry, the link is also there. Anyway, okay. Sorry. This is a draft of CPD General Order 01-11, which is how CPD relates to the district councils and the community commission for public safety and accountability. So this is CPD's rules for working with your district councilors and this body. We have copies up front that people are welcome to take. Point out a couple of things that we've discussed here, including today. So two things that this should control include if the commander has meetings with counselors outside of these public meetings, and also if, you know, the commander or police are coming to these meetings, and how one of those things would work. So in section 5, section 5 is department roles and specific functions of the district councils. In B, it says district commanders will, number 1, so 5B1, it says commanders will offer to the district council members to conduct check-in meetings between the leadership team and district council members. So I find that to be very tricky, because it says the commanders will offer something, but the meetings are not actually with the commander. The leadership team could just be a CAPS officer, a CAPS sergeant. So I think this essentially is completely missing the issue. If we need to have access to the commander, having access to a CAP sergeant is not going to be a sufficient replacement. So that's one issue. And then also above that, in A for the district council meetings, I do think it's inappropriate that they in 2 define the district councils, because the district councils are not a part of the police department, and we have our own ordinance. But it does, just so that you're aware, it does say that commanders and captains in number 3 should make efforts to attend district council public meetings within their district, and if unavailable, they will designate a supervisor of a lieutenant or above to attend the monthly public meetings. So the commission had proposed that there could be a waiver that district councilors could provide that would say your presence is not necessary at this meeting. And CPD did not include that waiver or anything about that in this current draft. So those are the two things the primary things that I'm flagging, both about creating the impression that the police are necessary for these meetings to occur, which I don't believe is the case. These meetings are for the public to spend time to discuss police matters, but that doesn't mean that we can't have these meetings without the police being here. And also, I think that access to the commander should be standardized, because
if I want to hold the police accountable and then they don't want to meet with me, what could I do to make them want to meet with me aside from, you know, abandoning the principles that I'm trying to uphold or something like that? So if the police are going to meet with certain district counselors, that should be a standard process that we should share, you know, equal access to, essentially. Yeah, so any, you can give feedback on this. I wasn't able to have like a link for it, but again, that the link to the survey to give feedback on this policy is at bit.ly/do14links. You could also find it if you go to the CCPSA website. Yes?
This isn't final, I know that, but I guess what's the process between this and it becoming final, and are you still pushing on these items to get them corrected?
Thank you. Yeah, so because this policy specifically relates to the district councils and to the priority we gave to the commission, they have been trying to, at our last quarterly meeting, they had a presentation on this, and they were getting some feedback from us. However, I think that section could have been done better. Some was delayed, and then there was a substitution. But district counselors are giving feedback on this, but the public can also give feedback on this. The public can give feedback on all policies. So, sorry, the new process that we have now, either CPD, so there's CPD and there's the commission, either one of them can start a policy, and then they have to send it to the other person, the other body, and then the policy goes back and forth with revisions until they agree. So I don't believe that there is a hard cutoff date. I'm sure that there are maybe some time frames within that, but they can keep going back and forth for some time, unless it, you know, maybe comes to a head or something.
Wait, can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
You're saying in regards to, like, you know, these sections,
yes,
the CCPSA puts forward, like, a policy, and then the CPD, like, comes back with revisions?
So this one actually started from CPD. It can go either way.
Okay.
The commission can submit an initial policy to them, is my understanding. I don't know if they've done that yet, but this one, the commission took the number one priority from the district councils, which was to standardize relationships with the police department, and they sent a goal to Snelling in quarter one. And Snelling got whatever people to work on it, and so CPD, long before this, had an initial version that the commission then took, and then they gave comments on that initial version, and this is version two or version three.
Okay.
So this one started from CPD, and the commission are giving comments and asking them to revise it. And they already asked them to make some revisions that were not included in this version, like the waiver of attendance. Yes?
Cool. So yeah, just providing some feedback. Completely agree that this is written in a weird way, where they, in section 2A, they seem to be writing laws about, or policies about, what the CCPA is, which is inappropriate. They can be descriptive for the purposes of people reading the policy, but it shouldn't be will. It should be as, you know, as per this law, the CCPSA is blah, blah, blah. Agree with that. What I didn't understand was your comment about sergeants, because in section 5,
yeah, 5B,
it's 5.3A, they designate must be a lieutenant or above. So if you want to,
sorry,
if you want to argue whether it should be a captain, that's a different point, but they don't, they don't have.
Oh, in A.
5.3A.
Okay, so number one are, right, it is, I'm sure I wasn't clear with my language. So one, we have the monthly meetings, the monthly public meetings.
Yes.
A refers to the monthly public meetings. And then B refers to what could be private meetings between counselors and the commanders.
Got it.
And so I don't. So we also wanted to. We wanted two things. We wanted to standardize the police, you know, activity around the monthly public meetings. We also wanted to standardize access to meeting, to district counselors meeting with the commander, in the same way that an older person, you know, might seek a meeting with the commander.
Got it.
Yes. So in B, for those private meetings, it says the leadership team, and my understanding is that the leadership team could be the cap sergeant and not a lieutenant or a captain or the commander.
I understand. Okay. And then I agree with the point about the waivers, but I think there should be some minimum number of times a year. Obviously, as you said, the police can't dictate to the CCPSA, but if this is negotiated between CCPSA and the police, then the commission could direct the districts, right, as part of so I don't know what the right number of times is, but it seems we have an appetite for at least twice a year, maybe more than that, yeah, as a minimum.
Sure. Okay, that's interesting. Thank you. Yes, sir?
I have to vote up on the Illinois Open Meetings Act, but I suspect that if you have two counselors in a room meeting with anybody from the police department for some kind of a discussion, that falls under the Open Meetings Act. There may be some exception that precludes that, but something worth looking for.
That is the current understanding that CCPSA staff have communicated with district counselors. There was some movement around that in the past, but that has been the consistent position.
Now, if there's only one of you meeting with the commander.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
So that's actually addressed in section 584.
Yes, so they wanted to make sure that the police know that it's not their responsibility to enforce the OMA against district counselors.
Yeah. And so that's where in B, it refers to district council members without saying how many. And I think it's reasonable just to consider how much time it's right to require the commander to spend on CCPSA.
Right.
And there's a good answer to that question, whether it's 2 hours a month or 10 hours a month, whatever. But I think it's vague, perhaps because of that concern, and so maybe it shouldn't be vague.
Yeah.
It's expected that the commander will spend X amount of time.
Right. If there was one meeting, per month, that would be one meeting per month. But if they have to give equal opportunity, then suddenly that's three times
many
meetings.
All three.
So maybe it's only maybe you can't have a meeting every month then as an individual. Maybe it's every 3 months or something. Sure.
More specificity might help.
But right, and again, this is something that you can give your feedback directly to the commission on, which would be the most effective. Either on their website, this is the only policy currently under review. So if you're on the CCPSA website, you can find it under policy review, or at bit.ly/TO14links. Okay, great. Should we any other discussion around the CPD policies for district councils? Or ready to move on?
I'm just curious how often you think someone from CPD should come to our meetings, and how often should go to?
I think that the commander, aside from, I guess, if she's saying that she needs a data officer with her, I think that the commander is a better person to speak than than a cap sergeant, certainly. Captains may have some abilities as well. Sorry. I think that the commanders, we should be able to have a private meeting with them monthly, but if that's rotating through different counselors or something, that's a possibility. And I think that should be as needed for these meetings, I guess. I don't know that it needs to follow a specific cadence, or it could be more about the topics of the content and when the community has questions or something like that. I think it does need to be like that. Okay, great. Moving right along to, or that we might be, okay, so I did have on here talking to you about some of the district council proposals. I'm not sure if I could really do any of that, especially without my phone. But I will let you know, I guess, that
We're going to vote on them before that. So the district counselors, we have like about 14 proposals that we're going to do online voting for before our annual meeting. And from these proposals, we will come up with our priorities that we send to the commission this year. It's a more formalized process. Last year we had breakout discussions at our quarterly meeting, and then we ranked topics from that to send to the commission. This year, anybody who wanted to make a proposal started working on it earlier in the year and had to get 7 district counselors to agree to it, and then it became an official proposal, and now we're going to vote on all the official proposals, and those that pass will be included.
When's your vote?
I think like the 7th to the 13th, something like that, I think. So the 7th to the 13th, we'll be voting online. Chris previously included the titles of some of them in an email, and I included the titles of some of them in an email. If you'd like to speak more about that, let me know. I think I'm...
Are they published somewhere?
I don't know exactly. They're in the city's like Microsoft account, so like the master files are not accessible to anybody who doesn't work for the city. I don't know if they're included in our notes from the quarterly meetings, because it seems like to some degree they should be.
It'd be great if you could publish them on your links, even if it's not a link, just your document.
Yeah, so I don't have, right, so I have them as PDFs. I would have to rehost them on Google Drive to turn them into links, which I could maybe do, but it might piss off some people, but I could maybe do that.
Public official.
And sorry, I think we can end. The last thing I was going to say really required the other counselors, but I want to make another budget request for equipment. I want to get a laptop that has a USB and HDMI cord so that I'll be able to provide projection services as needed, either for myself or for any speakers that are coming. That's the main reason that I want a laptop. And I also want a cell phone and an email client. I was going to ask if my co-counselors were interested in those items as well, but they're not here. Thank you all so much for being here today.
So you're going to be voting on things. I recall in reading through all this material online that there was a proposal being discussed to prohibit police officers from attending the meeting.
I am not aware of any such proposal, and I should be aware of all of the proposals.
I know I read. At any rate, if that's being considered, you can't do it.
Yes, no one can be formally excluded. Except, potentially for individual behavior cause, if that were the case. Maybe the opposite. I know there are proposals about, I know there's one about the community working with the police. Thank you all for being here. If there are any, I'll open it if there's any closing remarks anybody has, but I'm going to stick around and take my phone back. If you would like to talk about the DC proposals, I'm going to pull them up on my phone, and I'll stay here to talk to anybody right now. Thank you all for coming. Sorry that it ended up not being official. We will have to have quorum at some other date in November, but these conversations needed to happen now. And thank you for being here, and thank you for being part of it. DO14 links. bit.ly/DO14 links.
Okay, thanks.